From the horse capital of the world, the great city of Lexington, Kentucky, welcome to Red Barn Radio. Wherever in the world you're listening, join us as we celebrate the music and artists of this Kentucky region. Tonight, Red Barn Radio presents a concert performance with the Daniel Mason Band. Coming up on Red Barn Radio.
No, oh, 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 no, you don't. Called you his ball and chain. On more and more occasion, totally forgot your name. I've been looking on the outside, waiting for an opportunity to let you know about a real love and all the possibilities. Just a need of you, miss, baby, to have you all to myself. You'll be telling that player you belong to someone else. Forever, not talking about a one night stand. I'm making my session, give you everything you need. Want a true confession? Well, here's a promise you can't keep. Here's a promise you can't keep, baby.
Oh, 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 no, you don't.
No, 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 no. Ooh,
never, ever, 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 ever to be alone.
Ooh, my phone's down.
Red Barn Radio is brought to you with the financial support of Visit Lex, Lexington, Kentucky's Convention and Visitors Bureau. Planning to visit Lexington or just looking for more information, Visit Lex is on the web at visitlex.com. We're more than just bluegrass. LexArts, Lexington, Kentucky's Arts Council, creating a great American city inspired by the arts. We'd like to thank Sims Pizzeria and Soda Fountain for supplying food each week for our musical guests and volunteers. Chef Greg Scott and Sims Pizzeria and Ice Cream Parlor is located just minutes from Lexington in historic Wilmore, Kentucky. For more information, see Sims Pizzeria and Soda Fountain on Facebook. Listen locally. working in concert to encourage everyone to embrace any opportunity to listen locally and engage with each other in a variety of shared experiences, including music, theater, poetry, dialogue, and conversation. You can learn more about Listen Locally on Facebook, Instagram, and at listenlocally.net. The Griffin Gate Marriott Resort and Spa is Red Barn Radio's guest accommodation partner, providing hotel accommodations for our musical guests. The Griffin Gate Marriott Resort and Spa is the ideal choice for your next visit to Lexington, Kentucky. AccuPrint provides printed programs each week for our audience members. For all your printing needs, AccuPrint is on the web at accuprint.us.
Good evening, I'm Renee Collins, and welcome to Red Barn Radio. Now in our 17th broadcast season, tonight is Red Barn Radio's 623rd live concert performance. We are pleased to present a program of great live music featuring the Daniel Mason Band. There is something to be said about Daniel Mason, the way he captures an audience with his soulful voice that brings back a taste of blue-eyed soul with a mix of country and R&B. Born in Paris, Kentucky, Daniel emerged and matured his talent in the local church choir. From there, he developed guitar and writing skills. As most serious hungry artists, he moved to Nashville, Tennessee to establish himself as a singer-songwriter. Daniel is now pursuing his own career, the Daniel Mason Band. Appearing tonight with Daniel are Scott Barrett, Jace Hackman, and Joel Burns. Please welcome the Daniel Mason Band to the Red Barn stage.
Another lie, another excuse, crooked smile, no, I'm not a mule. Slipping and sliding through a lonely place, walking down a path of shame and disgrace. Is it time to let go? You're getting so cold. Checking in, checking out. Ain't no forgiveness in this law and bound. Living with the choices that you made. Baby, you might be too late to save. Yeah. Too late to save. Time to let go. Yeah, you're sinking, sinking. You're not the same person that I used to know. Why you're so out of control? Yeah, you're sinking, sinking. Dead weight too heavy to hold. Can't save that heart of stone. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa.
now here's Red Barn Radio's Brad Becker.
I'd love to know, Daniel, how old were you when you first discovered your voice?
Oh, I was pretty young, because my sister used to say all the time, "You sound like a girl."
Oh, really? Did you? Were you high?
Yeah, I was pretty young when I started singing. I was listening to a lot of the old stuff because my mom and my dad, especially my mom, she sang in the church and stuff too, and she used to play a lot of the old music around the house. So that kind of got me into that, you know. You know, listening to a lot of the, you know, the soul music, you know, the blue-eyed soul, especially like some of the old school stuff growing up and stuff, that really hit home with me. So, you know, growing up playing the guitar, I wanted to like learn that stuff. And some of the rock music through like the mid-80s too, some of the hair bands I got, you know, into and tried to like learn the stuff, but never really caught on with that.
You were first a singer?
Yeah, I sang first. I mean, I sang when I was really young. Mom and Dad got me like to the youth choirs and things like that. I picked that up pretty quickly.
What did you learn doing choir music?
Oh, goodness. What did I learn?
Yeah.
To sing with other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I fly to the moon in a hot air balloon for you. Drive in reverse across the universe for you. Jump out of a plane without a parachute for you. Run a marathon in my birthday suit for you. Hey, you wanna drive me to the loony bin, but baby, you just don't understand. Ask me if I'm crazy, I won't lie. Ask me if I'm crazy, I won't lie. No whistles or maybes don't apply. Ask me if I'm crazy, I won't lie. Yeah, the answer to that question is true. I'm crazy for you. Well, I do the Macarena in a hurricane. Do the Macarena in a hurricane. Do Jesse James with the sun at high noon for you. For you. Spend the rent money downloading bro country for you. Ooh, even get a tattoo with your mama's name for you.
Have any other teachers that made a difference when you were a young person?
Oh man, I can't remember her name, but I remember when I was in sixth grade. That's awful, isn't it?
That's special. special.
It's that special. Well, we had this little section in our year where we picked up these little like plastic guitars with nylon strings, and they taught us like the basic, you know, chord, you know, like one finger. And, you know, I saw some friends that were already really developed, and they were playing full chords, and they were doing a lot of stuff, and I was like, man, I want to do that. I want to be able to do that. Mom and Dad bought me this little harmony guitar, which I still have to this day.
Oh, good.
And, I mean, I literally played the thing till my fingers bled. Thank you, Brian Adams. But, yeah, I mean, I played that thing to death.
So you had a little amp, you had a little practice amp. And,
well, it was an acoustic. Oh. It was an acoustic, yeah.
So by the time you were in your sort of mid-teens, 15, 16, were you already at that point in time performing, you know,
I wasn't
kind of
really performing as much. I mean, I still sang in the church, but I was really into sports at that moment. It wasn't until like my junior year in high school I started hanging out with a good friend that sang. I mean, he would go out and sing with his uncle, and they would go play shows and kind of develop my sound through him too. He kind of got me over the stage fright kind of thing. So
because
I didn't
deal.
Sing public a lot then. In church I did collectively, but not as an individual.
So what kind of music were you doing with this friend of yours where you first learned to perform?
It was fairly kind of the same stuff. And we did a lot of pop music, you know, kind of, you know, like that folky pop stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah.
You know,
a lot of harmonies and things like that.
Okay.
Vocally.
When you're running around dressed down in makeup, short shorts and a tight little white tank top, doesn't stop dropping my jaw, driving me wild with your dynamite smile and eyes like stars shining brighter, brighter than the rest. When you're walking around in an evening gown, wearing your hair up by me,
lying if denying,
you were the prettiest lady in this place. So I think I'll change my daydreams back to the same scene every single time. When you're running around dressed down in makeup, just shorts and a tight little white tank top, doesn't stop driving my jaw, driving me wild with your dynamite smile and eyes like stars shining bright above. And the rest, that's the you I like the best. The girls in the magazines, the L.A. scene, up a sting, they're thinking that
glittier is prettier.
But baby, the way you look, you can stop the crowd. Wow, it's funny how you don't even try. There's no one do why. They don't compare to you at all. No, compare you at all. When you're running around, there's down to make up your shorts and tie little white tank top. Doesn't stop dropping my jaw.
Paris, and you later moved to Georgetown, but when you were in Paris until what age?
I think it was 15. Yeah. Okay. It was the summer of 89, somewhere in there, 88, 89, somewhere in there.
Why did you end up moving to Georgetown?
My parents found a lot, and my dad was a builder, and
yeah,
we built a house out there at that point. We
did that uproot you from the school where you were?
And it did. It did. I went to Scott County there in Georgetown for about a year. After my sophomore year, once I got my license, I started to commute back to Paris, to Bourbon County. So
it's sort of an interesting experience, isn't it, to change high schools. You know, you get a chance to kind of reinvent yourself a little bit, maybe.
The first couple months, there was a lot of sitting at lunch by yourself. It was an interesting change for me.
Huh.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Did you start to write before you were out of high school, or?
I did. I started kind of to develop the writing early, pretty early. I used to kind of make melodies on my guitar when I first started playing. And then the writing kind of started to develop when I was in high school, late high school, junior, senior. I really started really to develop the writing skill.
How did you do that?
I would just listen to music. I would try to mimic it.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's kind of where you start. If you want to learn to write a song, you listen to how it's done.
Yeah.
You know, so I kind of did that. I started to kind of just try to mimic songs and how they arranged and structured the pop tunes on the radio. You know, I would record them and be like, oh, how did you do this? And so that's kind of how it started. You know, doing that kind of stuff.
You were never really drawn to the sort of confessional singer-songwriter. Were you more drawn to the sort of pop sensibilities?
I mean, I'm from the country.
Yeah.
I mean, we farmed growing up, but Joe always jokes around. He's like, we got a guy in our group that was from the farm from Paris, Kentucky, but he grew up listening to Michael Jackson. And that's true.
Right.
You know, I grew up listening pop music. I was drawn to it. Prince, Michael Jackson, you know, Hall & Oates, the old school stuff, you know, Marvin Gaye, and, you know.
Is it because you could sing with it, or was it because you
probably
dug
because
the groove?
I love the groove. I love the vibe, the soul of it, you know, the real, you know, the genuine vibe of it, so.
Would you sing me a song? Would you hold my hand? Would you tell me a story about the promised land? Would you sing me a song? Would you hold my hand? Would you walk with me and be my friend? Everyone needs a shoulder to lean on. Everyone needs someone to believe in. And everyone needs a friend they can count on. Everyone needs to be loved. Oh. Would you sing me a song? Would you hold my hand? Would you tell me a story about the promised land? Or would you sing me a song? Would you hold my hand? Would you walk with me and be my friend? Be my friend, oh, oh. Everyone needs a shoulder to lean on, yeah. Someone to believe in. And everyone needs a friend they can count on. Everyone needs to be loved. Oh, oh, oh. Yeah.
you sing me a song? Would you hold my hand? Would you tell me a story about the promised land? Would you sing me a song? Would you hold my hand? Would you walk with me and be my friend?
So fast forward then a little bit past high school. Did you go do a little college?
I did. Right here at UK.
Oh, okay.
I went to LCC at the time, mm-hmm. which was the community college, and commuted from home. I was there for about a year and a half, and then I started working, got married, and that into that. So, but my brother and my sister, they're both alumni from UK, and so we have, there's a heritage here in Kentucky for us.
You were in your 20s, then early 20s, when you decided you really wanted to devote more time to this art?
My first real big deal, like when I was in high school, my transition from high school into college, I played in a group that played just like little bars around Lexington. Went from that into, I started, my first real band was a band called Another Level, and it was like a Christian rock pop group. And we traveled around and played all festivals. And that's kind of what got me into it. And then, again, got married, got a real job, a 9-to-5-er. And it wasn't until later that I kind of developed the feeling of, man, I really want to keep doing this. So, and that's when I moved to Nashville. Mm.
Girl. I've never been down this road before till I met you. Know that I could touch the sky. Wasn't really looking for somebody who would take me by complete surprise. Love is calling, yeah.
Coming up, more Red Barn Radio with the Daniel Mason Band, recorded live from the Performance Hall at Arts Place in Lexington, Kentucky. We're back with more from the Daniel Mason Band after this break. This is Red Barn Radio,